Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of a Sunny Side Up Life podcast. So I am kind of going off of my planned topic of what I had planned for this week's episode, and hopefully I'll record that topic to share with you guys next week. But this topic is basically what's going on in my head and my heart right now. So if you saw the title of the episode, you know that we're going to talk about bouncing back from hitting rock bottom, basically. And this has been like, I feel like so much has happened in the week, basically, since I recorded the last episode. And I'm just like all in my feels. So I have to share with you guys kind of what's going on for me. So I am sitting here recording. It is actually my daughter Isabel's birthday, so I'm recording this a day before it comes out, and it is nap time, so I'm coming to you guys during the nap time hustle with another cup of coffee and peppermint essential oils going so I can stay awake and fight the nap time quiet, so I don't take a nap myself. And it's just, you know, it's full nap time warrior over here today. I've got Melanie in my room, which is where my desk is, on my bed asleep as I record this. And Izzy's in the girls' room and June is in the living room. And that's how we do nap time in this tiny two-bedroom house when mama needs to work. So that's what we do. Today is actually Isabel's birthday. It's her fifth birthday, and we're gonna go out to dinner later, her choice, and that's kind of it for now. And we're gonna have her birthday party later on in the weekend, and I'll be sure to share pictures with you guys, of course. So, kind of what has got me in my feels, as my husband says, is everything that the year that Isabel was born represents to Daniel and I and our family, basically, as a whole. And it's been 5 years since what I consider my rock bottom moment, which was actually 3 days before her birthday on the 13th of January, when you guys might have heard my story of what I consider my rock bottom moment is when it was time for Daniel to fly home for Izzy to be born. We went ahead and set up an induced date, and so he was coming home and we had to buy the last minute flight. And even though she was a planned baby, she was our rainbow baby. We got pregnant with her after we had had a miscarriage, and so we very much so tried to get pregnant with her after, suffering a miscarriage. And so we had maybe 11 months notice that she was coming, and we still didn't have any money saved. I'm talking literally no money. We literally didn't even have a savings account, you guys. This isn't exaggeration. This is the nitty gritty truth of it all. We didn't even have a savings account. Here we are. I was 25. He was 28. We're about to have our second child in a 3,200 square foot house and this pretty decent paying job. Everything looks beautiful on the outside. We've been married for 5 years at this point, and you know, everything is just magical on the outside. And it comes time for him to fly home. It's a last minute flight from New York to Houston. And, you know, It was like $800 or something like that. And we had a couple of hundred, I think it was like maybe 300, I can't remember the exact numbers, left available on our only credit card that wasn't maxed out. I think we had three or four or five. I can't even remember. That's how much it all kind of just blurs together. We had a couple of credit cards, a few credit cards at this time. And we ended up having to max out our Discover card a few hundred dollars over. And we were kind of like at this point, it let us do it because it was, I guess, just one transaction. So it didn't decline it. It went through and we were just like, thank God it went through because, you know, you get to come home. I really don't know what our plan was. We didn't have a plan. And if that would have got declined, I don't even know what our plan B would have been. I mean, we literally had zero plan. And so we max out this credit card. The transaction goes through. We're just like, we don't care if we have to pay the penalty, whatever. Life is picking on us. Poor us. Because this flight is so expensive. It's the flight's fault. You know, it's the money's fault. It's the credit card company's fault for making our limit only that much, which was like $11,000 or something ridiculous. It was a lot, was our limit, and we maxed it out. And we had other credit cards that were maxed out that we couldn't even use. Zero savings. Planning to have our second baby. Now that just, if someone was to ask my advice, like, do you think this is a good idea? I would say, absolutely no. But in the moment, that's just what you do. You know, life is just moving so fast. And we had a miscarriage and we were obviously heartbroken and we were like, fill that void, we need another baby and this is what we're going to do. And I got pregnant and I was like, okay, I'm going to become a stay-at-home parent. So I closed my auction business that I was running and I really didn't make money with it. I feel like I never really came out ahead because I feel like we were borrowing from personal money to pay business bills and borrowing from business money to pay personal bills. And you know, that juggle back and forth, if you're self-employed, you've probably done that. And I don't feel like I really ever made any money, but just having that money to juggle was something that we were so used to. And so here I was staying home now, we didn't have that money to juggle and everything just started to pile up and pile up. And also, my mother will tell you, I don't know how true this is for everyone, but my mother will tell you that the fifth year of marriage is always the hardest year. So that was hers and my dad's hardest year of marriage. That was our hardest year of marriage. So let me know if that is true for you, if the five-year rule applies to you. She's already been warning my sister, who just got married over the summer, just be on the lookout for year five. So I don't know how true that is, but it was true for me. And everything was just piling up and piling up, right? And the other day, as it's the five-year anniversary of this day that we maxed out our credit card for him to fly home, and I remember, you know, being 3 days away from giving birth, 9 months pregnant, absolutely miserable and uncomfortable. This child did not let me sleep. She had this one little spot that she would lay when I was pregnant with her, and this spot was just sore and just raw and it hurt so bad and she would not move. Like, she would just lay on that one spot. And so I could not sleep for weeks. And so I was just delusionally tired and on and on and on. I wanted my husband home. I was scared that he was going to miss the birth. Every little pain, I was scared that I was going into labor and he wasn't going to be there for it. And plus, on top of all that, I had a nearly almost three-year-old running around. And I was trying to adjust becoming a stay-at-home mother, which was super boring to me at the time. Not really what I wanted to be doing. Anyway, I'm setting the tone here for you guys. And as the anniversary date came up of this day the other day, I sat by myself in the living room after I had put the girls to bed. The house was quiet. And I let all of the emotions run through me. Something that I've been trying to work on. I just sat with it for a little bit. No phone, no music, no conversation, nothing. I just sat with it. And I let all of the emotions run through me. And I started remembering things. And I thought, you know, I don't remember the last time I really remembered like that specific little detail. Where I was exactly standing in the dining room, I remember what window I was looking out of while Daniel and I were on the phone trying to figure out what to do to buy this flight. I remember standing there and crying. And that was something that I hadn't really thought about in a while. I hadn't thought about that nitty gritty, just painful memory. And as I was sitting there, I was kind of flashing forward into that whole year of what I consider our rock bottom until about a year later in the middle of January or so, we finally got brave enough to add up our debt. And so this was this January to January rock bottom survival mode. Oh my gosh, what are we doing? Year of our life. And poor Isabel was a newborn through all of this, was an infant through all of this. And she was literally the best baby. She was such an easy baby. God was so good to me because he knew that I needed that. I just needed her sweet, unconditional, loving soul that she has. She was my forgiveness. She was my grace, which is why her middle name is Grace. I'm going to cry, y'all. It's my baby's birthday. She was my grace. And she, Isabel, actually means God's promise, which I didn't know that until Daniel actually picked her name. Then later I looked it up and I figured out that that's what Isabel means, is God's promise. And she is my promise and she is my grace, that it's okay. You can have a new season. You can start over right where you are, in the middle, in the mess, in the nitty-gritty details that you don't really want to dig back up. And through that whole year of this rock bottom place, a lot of people think that rock bottom is like one particular moment, which I kind of feel like for your nice, neat little package of a story that you tell once you're on the other side, like I do, I sit here and I tell my story over and over and over again. And I actually had the opportunity last week to go to a women's event and speak to the women at a church that was only a couple hours away from where I live. And I shared my story with them, and to share face to face with these women, share my story was an unbelievable feeling. But, you know, I have this nice, neat little package of my story that I tell, and not that I am telling a fake version of it, because I'm definitely not. But we tie up this story. We take our story and put in this nice neat little package and tie it up with a bow to make it pretty and easy to present. And even though there are some raw, vulnerable details in it, we tell it so many times that it just becomes just what it is. And you have to almost detach yourself from the emotion to tell it so many times, because that's what I hear so much. And that's what I heard from these ladies was, you know, thank you for your vulnerability. Thank you for speaking your truth. Thank you for, you know, sharing your story so openly and so honestly. And you guys, I've told it so many times that it's just what happened at this point, you know. But what you don't tell, you can't possibly tell every little detail. You know, you can't possibly tell every little time that you cried while you paid your bills, or every little day that you just wished for nap time so you could have some quiet so you could just think straight for a minute. Or, you know, I was thinking about, this was also the time in our life where, I mean, we honestly, like, my word for the year was less. And that was my phase of less debt, less going out to eat, less purchases. And one of those things was less clutter. This was also the time that I was decluttering like crazy, like literally more than half of our belongings were gone. They were donated, sold, thrown away, wherever they needed to go, they were gone out of that house, because I just needed less in my life. I was so weighed down by so many physical and emotional and just every which way kind of clutter. I was overran by it. And so I have this memory of, I used to purge a lot after the girls would go to bed. And obviously, you know, they were really young when I was doing this. And it was even into the time when I was pregnant with Melanie. I'm still purging because it was a huge house, plus a huge workshop, plus a garage full of clutter, plus an entire storage, like outside building full of clutter. So it was even more than just our 3,200 square foot house. And this was even into, you know, when I was pregnant with Melanie. And so I have these memories of me in the middle of the night, like when Daniel's at work and the girls are asleep, and just purging basically for my sanity's sake at this point. And I have memories of crying and sweating and packing up boxes and going through things and throwing things away. And if you guys have ever done your first big purge, it is a lot. It's going through things that make you cry. It's throwing away things that you know don't serve you anymore, but it's still hard. It's all these things. And then I would listen to a couple of podcasts. Podcasts weren't really big then yet, but there were a couple that I would listen to. I would, you know, rewatch Periscope videos. That's when everybody was doing Periscope, really before Facebook Live took off. And I would go back and watch certain people's like Periscopes and people that inspired me. I would listen to Dave Ramsey's radio show religiously. I never missed an episode for, oh gosh, several months, if not a year. I would listen to every single minute of every single episode while I was purging, while I was cleaning, while I was doing all these things that I knew were getting me one step closer to getting out of this survival mode. And I tell you this because I don't want you to think that just because I vulnerably and openly share my story, that you see this nice, neat little story that I can tell you in a couple of minutes and you think that's all there was. I don't want you guys to think that. I want you guys to know that there were layers upon layers upon layers of things that were not pretty, things that were full of tears and sweat and arguments and stress and sleepless nights and more tears and more, you know, just scrap pieces of paper of me planning and figuring numbers and moving things around and purging and selling and doing everything that I could, fighting my way out of this rock bottom pit that I was in, which is what it felt like. It felt like I was just in this dark pit of life. And I was just every day fighting my way one step closer to the surface as I went. And that's what you've got to do. And so if you're in the middle of this, in the messy middle, and you're like, my story is messy, I cry a lot more than I really should, or this, I figure the numbers too often. No one else is doing this. No one else is digging through old clothes to try to find things to sell to get extra money. No one else is side hustling. No one else is babysitting. I babysat for a while for one of my girls' best friends, while her dad was going back to school. And I would get up like first thing in the morning. I don't know. He had like 8 o'clock classes. And so I'd have to get up pregnant with Melanie to babysit. And I did it because any little bit helped. Anything helped at this point. So I did everything I could do. And you guys, if you're feeling like my thick of it, my rock bottom, my middle is too messy, I must not be doing it right, you're absolutely wrong. If you hear my story and you're like, well, her story is so nice and neat and just easy to tell And she just shares it so vulnerably. So something must be wrong with my story. It's not true. I have packaged my story into something that is easy to tell. And there are so many emotions and so many things that I do keep to myself, because that is how raw and vulnerable they really are. They don't really need to be shared for my sake and for your sake. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that they didn't happen. That doesn't mean that I can't remember them. And I think what I struggle with is the balance of that. Like, I don't want to feel dishonest and not share, but also some of it needs to stay sacred. And some of it, I honestly have, it's all kind of blurred together because so much happened in that time that I just kind of remember the overview of most of it. I just remember that it was hard. And I also, I am so, I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I really try to find the positive sides of things. You know, that's kind of all, that's what I do. That's who I am. I've always kind of been like this. And so I try to find the positive. I try to find the lesson. And so sometimes I think in doing that, I almost accidentally discredit my actions, what I've really been through, you know, and I don't want you guys to do that. I hope that you learn something from all of that, from me sharing this, right? And, you know, as I'm sitting there reflecting on the past 5 years and thinking about how completely different our life is, the only thing that is the same is us, like that physically us, emotionally and spiritually, and all the connection between our family, all of that is different. And where we live, you know, how our money situation is, how we live, everything is so different. And it just really goes to show you how much you can really change in just a few years. And I talk about this all the time, and I have a whole episode on this called You Can't Stop Time, and I can link to it in the show notes for you guys if you haven't listened to it. It's a short, sweet little episode, but so powerful. And basically the premise behind You Can't Stop Time is just that time is going to keep going one way or the other, you guys. Today would have been Isabel's 5th birthday, regardless of what I did. And I think that's what hits us the most, especially as mothers, because every little holiday, we just get so reminiscent and so sappy, and at least I do, especially my kids' birthdays. And I remember everything that was going on around their birth and all the things. And it really came flooding over me the other night thinking 5 years. 5 just sounds so big to me. And I just think everything is different. In 5 short years, it flew by. Really? The day-to-day, those days of crying and decluttering and praying and all the things. Yeah, it was hard day-to-day. Of course it was. But now that I look back, I'm like, wow, that happened. And I think time passed. It passed. And I am so thankful that I did something productive with those years, that I climbed out of rock bottom. I did something productive, because like it or not, Izzy would have been 5 today. And I could have just as easily been still in debt. I could have just as easily still been in a cluttered house. I could have just as easily still had a strenuous marriage that was literally to the breaking point, because the stress level was unbearable. And of course, it always weighs on your marriage. You can literally be married to your soulmate, your best friend, your favorite person in the entire world, which I am. And it can still be strenuous on your marriage. It's hard. Don't discredit the fact that it is hard. and it's not pretty. But remember that time is going to pass one way or the other. So you might as well do something productive with it. And hopefully in 5 years, you can look back and say, wow, look at that. Look at my story. And hopefully you'll have it in a nice, neat little package that you can share and you can help others with. And all of those messy middle details will start to blur together and will be slowly forgotten over time, because we don't want to hang on to all of that negative. We just want to take the lesson from it, right? We just want to take the lesson from it. And we want to stand on the other side and say, I did that. And if I can do that, I can do anything. And that's something that I'm going to be working on over the next couple of weeks, is really realizing and acknowledging my accomplishments and being proud of myself. Because it's one thing for other ladies to say, thank you for sharing your story and thank you for being so vulnerable. But if I'm not proud of myself, then what lesson have I really learned, you know? So remember to be proud of yourself as you go through it, okay? So that's really what I wanted to share with you guys today on my baby's birthday. I hope that that's helpful. I hope that that was encouraging. You guys, please share this episode. You never know who needs to hear this message. Like I said, our story, it used to look so perfect on the outside. You know, the high school sweethearts who got married and had their beautiful babies and were living in this pretty house and all the things. And no one really knew how much we were really hurting and really struggling on the inside. Not to say that everyone is really hurting and struggling, but you just never really know. You never really know who needs it, okay? So please share. I would really, really appreciate it. It helps spread the message of hope and encouragement to women all over the world. That is my ultimate goal. I really appreciate you guys hanging out with me. And I have so much lined up for this year. And I am so excited about all of the topics that we have to talk about. So if you guys haven't yet, please subscribe. Hit subscribe. There are several of you who are listening and not subscribing. You guys, if you don't subscribe, you might miss an episode. If you subscribe, then you'll never miss one. And you can make sure, you know, to get all of the goodness that we have planned for 2019 and all of the great things that are happening. All right, guys. Whew. This was a heavy one for me. So I'm going to go and wake my babies up from their nap time. Go enjoy the rest of Izzy's birthday. And I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.